New World Report. I'm John Batts with my colleagues, Joseph Umar, Ernesto Araujo, Peru and Ecuador. Strikingly similar. Ernesto, I start with you because you observe these from the 20,000 feet in the air foreign ministry point of view. And I welcome that because right now in Peru, we have a new president who was the vice president, Dino Bilardi. You know this very well. The former president was removed by the legislature, and he's now awaiting. He's now charged with betrayal, treason, disorder, awaiting trial. And in Ecuador, we have a president, President Lasso, who is now being challenged by his assembly. Impeachment is called for to remove him. Although in both instances, they're not exactly parallel, but it is the legislature rising up to challenge the elected president. Is there a pattern here that you see, Ernesto, or is these just random events in countries that are abridge each other?
John, I think there is a pattern, but we should not look at the formal pattern, which is political systems political institutions challenging elected presidents. Rather, what is behind that? And we should ask cui bono. And cui bono in both cases is the narco-socialist project for the region. They want to create instability in Peru and they want to create instability in Ecuador. In both cases, to drive those countries squarely into the São Paulo Forum project, into the narco-socialist project. So in Peru, they use this social turmoil in order to force President Boluarte to call for new elections and a new constitution that probably the more radical arm of the country or more radical currents would take over. So and in Ecuador, there's this sort of center-right president that, that doesn't help the project as they would like to. So they want to create instability for him as well. In every case, it's the same actors that use different instruments in order to get to power.
Joseph, I mentioned these apparently parallel events, although there's such strong connections between the way they're going about it in Lima, a little ahead of Quito. But I also come to the irony in Latin America, Central America, the Americas are wonderful for irony, is that Chile, we're told, has called out troops on its northern border with Bolivia and with Peru to fend off immigration waves that were said to be coming through because of a disorder in Bolivia and Peru. This is Chile of Gabriel Boric, who is, I would say, he's a card-carrying member of the center-left in Latin America, if not more, and is the product of violence in Santiago in 2019. Is this unusual to you that all of a sudden Boric is waking up to a problem?
Yeah, I mean, John, I think there's the kind of common denominator that we're seeing in a lot of these countries, and you mentioned it in your question, which is the ability to amplify disorder, to drive chaos and conflict, but then to capitalize on that, to be able to introduce radical change. That's the story of what happened in Colombia and Chile over the last few years. That's what led to President Gustavo Petro and President Gabriel Boric. They basically benefited from the chaos that hit their country in 2019 to 2021. And so now it's hitting Peru. It's hitting Peru. It's hitting Ecuador. Obviously, the spillout effects of that kind of level of instability and chaos is mostly migration. And so where we are very used to problems with migration, our southern border, so is the Peruvians now. The migrants that are leaving Peru are heading south, and they're moving into Chile. And this is something that I'm seeing Gabriel Boric maybe didn't anticipate, maybe he did, but he certainly is reacting to it in a much more aggressive manner than one would think in deploying his military forces to the northern border. It's something that Chile has done in the past, but something that Gabriel Boric has opposed when he was a congressman or a deputy inside the country. So I think what we're going to see, John, is I think we're going to see more of this kind of disorder because it paid benefits. It brought certain political leaders to power. And so if people see that it works, they're going to start to look at ways that they can use it in perpetuity. And I think Ecuador and Peru are vulnerable to that.
The Falkland Islands, do you all recall in the late 20th century, 1983 was the year, there was a sharp and extremely unusual battle between Great Britain, Margaret Thatcher's Great Britain, and the Falklands of the dictatorship, the military dictatorship. It led to a change of government in Argentina, but the dispute is back. Argentina now has different leadership and they're facing elections, but they want to talk about the Falkland Islands. This predates, I believe, the responsibility of my guests. It doesn't predate me. I tell a quick story to both Ernesto and Joseph that I was a novelist in 1982 when I turned a novel into a publisher in New York. And it was a story of dislocation and refugees floating forever once they're on the seas and not able to land again because they're being fended off. This is early days of thinking of the global South and the global North and sovereignty collapsing and people taking care of their own borders and not worrying about other refugees who have no homes. I was a young man, but I wrote the book in 82 and turned it in about a sharp battle that took place in the Falklands. My protagonists were on their way to Antarctica. The title of the book is The Birth of the People's Republic of Antarctica. It was a vision of a young man about a world in chaos and anarchy. The Falkland Islands story that I tell in the course of my resolution, Everybody Dies, is that it was between Argentina and the Falklanders who lived there. That turned out to be spookily similar to what happened in 1983. I tell that story because I come to Ernesto in Brazil, and growing up in Brazil, was that part of the lore, Ernesto, of the Europeans taking advantage of, or the Americans and Europeans taking advantage of, the Latin American sovereignty? Do you remember it that way? We have about a minute.
Yes, very much so, John. So first of all, I wrote novels also a few years ago, so it's glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. So, the Falklands Malvinas War was a moment where Brazilians turned much more friendly to Argentina. We were rival countries, and the sympathies were towards Argentina. And that's what changed the popular mood. And we started seeing Argentina as a brother country.
And these many years later, Joseph, is there a sympathy for Argentina's claim on the Las Malvinas and distrust of Great Britain, which has gone through a lot of changes since 1983? We have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely, John. It's a national sentiment that really drives hard inside Argentina, and it could play political benefit toward the current government because it could drive nationalist sentiment towards them in a year of a presidential election.
It is difficult to see how it is that Great Britain has a colonial claim on islands off the coast of Argentina. On your way to the Drake Passage, which Joseph has taught us is the access route for Iranian warships yet unfinished on their mission. Joseph Umar of Secure Free Society, the executive director, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, New World Report, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.